John chapter number 10. Okay. Teresa, you come up here just a second. John chapter number 10, and we'll look at a verse in John chapter number 8 also tonight. I've asked these young people here and this one old man to help me tonight as I try to bring you a message. And I want every young person to listen real careful. Now, I'll talk to you tonight. And you listen now. Don't listen on purpose. You know, try to. Most of the time, the preacher, we have to get people's attention. And if we somehow can get it, they'll listen. But I ask a favor of you tonight. Give it to me on purpose without me having to get it. And that way I won't have to spend the first few minutes getting it and the rest of the time keeping it. If you'll give me your attention tonight and listen carefully to everything I say, I believe the Lord wants to speak to some young person here tonight. Not me, the Lord. Amen. The Lord in heaven, God that made this world, wants to speak to some young person right here in this church tonight. Most of the time when we come down here and preach, our emphasis is to the young preachers, and the school is one of the main ministries here, and of course we all know that. But there's many, many young people in this church who come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday that God really wants to do something for and give them something here in this service tonight. John chapter 10, I'm going to read you what the Bible says about the devil. The Bible says something here about the devil. John chapter number 10. The Bible talks about the devil as he being a thief. And you'll look at verse number 10. The thief cometh not for three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know what that means, young people? That means the devil is going to try to do three things to you: steal from you what's good and right, destroy you, and kill you. The devil is wanting to kill you tonight. And he's doing it to a lot of young people. Did you know the danger age in America now is between 15 and 24? You are a limited species, man. The most dangerous place in America tonight to be, where do you think it is? Where would you think, move over here, Teresa, if you don't mind. Where would you think the most dangerous place in America is tonight? You want me to tell you the most dangerous place in America? You say it's on the streets of New Orleans. It would be in the back alleys of New York. No, those are on down the list a little bit. You know where the most dangerous place in America is? In your mother's womb.
Amen. Preach it.
You ain't got much chance of making it there, brother. That used to be the safest place. Now you're in more trouble there than you are anywhere. You don't have but a half a chance of ever even getting to live. I'm a fixin' to. Now, did you know between the ages of 15 and 24, you don't have much of a life expectancy, man. In the world's eyes. And the devil's out to kill young people. You know what? Listen, I believe that the devil knows that most people over 40 are done, as they say in the mountains, sotting their ways. And they ain't going to change for nobody. God, the devil, their wife, husband, they ain't going to change for nobody. Young people's the only one that will change most of the time. We preachers even got enough sense to know them old folks ain't going to change. So the devil's saying them people, most of them over 40, I ain't never going to be able to do nothing with them no way. He's targeting these young people tonight. He's after them. He's after your boys and girls. He's out there laying plots for some of them right now while we're sitting in here in church. While you are worried about your bills and your school and your own personal problems and your job, the devil's plotting things to get them teenagers right and left right under your nose. He cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. John 8:44 said, he is a liar and the father of it. The devil don't tell the truth. You hear me? The devil don't tell the truth. Now, young people tonight, the devil is not going to come to you with a pitchfork and horns and a tail sticking out and come running up to you and say, "Boo! I'm a devil! Follow me and I'll take you to hell!" He ain't going to do that. Nobody would follow him if he done that. He's going to come in something that's slick and attractive and appealing and something that looks good and makes you feel good and something you want to do real bad. That's the devil. I have a young lady here tonight who is 18, 17 years old. The devil wants to kill Teresa. She stands for the Lord. She tries to do right. She's praying for a good, godly, dedicated husband who's a preacher. Ain't she praying for a preacher husband? Amen, amen, amen. All the girls in our church pray for a preacher husband. I'm looking out for you, brethren. I want to tell you something. You know what the devil like to do to her? He like to destroy her. Hey, we're talking business here, brother. The devil wants to kill that girl. Now, I'm just serious as a heart attack when I say this. The devil wants to destroy your kids, and don't think he can't do it. You say, "Oh, God wouldn't let that." Oh, you just don't believe he wouldn't? He's let it happen to a lot of people. We are seeing Christian celebrities' children go down the tube in America. Some of them have had that philosophy, if you train them up in the way of the Lord, they'll not depart from the Lord. I ain't heard none of them preach on that in a long time. I want to preach to you tonight on the five fatal factors of youth. The devil's target is our young people. He's got five ways that he's trying to kill them. I'm going to give them to you tonight. Now, in this message, this 17-year-old girl is going to represent all of you young people. Now, Bobby here is going to represent, since he's the closest thing I could find to it, the devil. All right? Now, the devil's job, he's a meanest looking thing I could find here without calling on the pastor, but he's going to represent what the devil is trying to do to these young people. Now, watch tonight. Go ahead and here's what the devil's going to do. The devil has arrows pointed at every young person in here tonight. His job is to destroy. Now, the real honest-to-goodness devil, I mean the real devil, has got his bow at every little boy and girl in this room tonight. And brother, he's got the dead eye on them. His job, his desire, his aim is to destroy them. Now, Bobby's going to represent tonight how the devil is trying to destroy our young people. The five fatal factors of youth. Number one, I want to show it to you tonight. And the first one, as the brother's going to illustrate for you here tonight, is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is the devil trying to kill our young people. His job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now you look here just a second. I'm talking about lust of the flesh, or going, as young people call it, all the way. So many surveys are being made nowadays. The statistics in the big cities are absolutely astounding. How the devil is using the lust of the flesh. And as you know, God created a man and a woman to have a marriage relationship, and in that relationship be holy and pure and clean. But as you've heard Dr. Ruttman say many times, everything good, everything bad in this world is something good twisted. And the devil takes what God made to be good, and he twists that thing and makes it perverted until it almost seems dirty and wicked, even to the Christian married people. And that's exactly what what the devil's doing tonight. His job is to get you messed up in the lust of the flesh. Now, I'll talk plain to you a minute. I don't mean to be ugly. I'm not trying to sound vulgar, but I'm not going to say anything these kids probably don't hear 7 days a week out there in this world. I tell you, brother, it's time that we got plain enough from the pulpit so that young people will know what we're talking about. I'm telling you, young people here tonight, it is a trick of the devil to get you to thinking and a fooling around with the lust of the flesh way before you're supposed to be fooling around with it or thinking about it. God saved that for marriage, and it's a trick of the devil, and it'll destroy you. It will destroy you. If you knew how many boys I'd had come to my office and tell me, they say, "Brother Danny, I'm going crazy." And I say, "What's the matter?" And you know what their problem is? They got a hold of some dirty books. And they start looking at them dirty books. You hear me, boys? How many boys we got here under 20? Raise your hand. How many we got here? All you boys that's raising your hand, you listen to me. You leave them dirty books alone. You leave them dirty books alone. That's the devil got his arrow at your head, buddy. He's trying to kill you, man. Are you listening to me? And let me tell you girls something. Don't believe a word them low-down boys say. Because boy looks at girl, and boy likes girl, and boy wants girl. Girl ain't got no better sense than to believe what the boy says. Boy don't mean what boy says. He knows that's what girl wants to hear. Men fall in love with what they see. See? Women fall in love with what they hear. Women fall in love over the telephone. Men fall in love. I felt a little groan when I said that. You know how people start having affairs and running around on their marriage partner? Over the phone. Amen. People talking about TV, how bad it is. I don't think it's broke up as many homes as a telephone, brother. Amen. You heard about that woman that traded in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone? She could pick up more dirt. And buddy, I'll tell you what the devil will do. Listen. God made women pretty so men would love them. That's the only reason a man would possibly love one. What else could he want one for? Really? Now, I don't mean that bad. That's just the way it is. Don't you get no sour look on your face. See, men are selfish. All men are selfish. All men, all they think about is themselves. That's their problem. Man's biggest problem is his selfish. A woman's biggest problem is her mouth. She can't keep it shut. What? Hey, listen, you know how come God don't call women to preach? You think we're long-winded, man. You never would get out if they got up here. Really? They never... Oh, yeah, one more thing. Blah, 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 blah. They tell everything they knew every service. One woman got mad and she said, "Well, it's just not fair. Why can't we women preach? That's prejudice. That's discrimination." I say, the same reason we can't have babies, stupid. I don't mean you're better than we are. We're better than you are. It just means we're different. Now, men fall in love with what they see. A woman fall in love with what she hears. God made women pretty so that men would love them. And God made women dumb so they'd love men. That's right. I'm serious. I'm not joking. That's the truth. Why else would a woman love an old stinking, hairy-legged, selfish man? They're dumb. Thank God they are. Or we'd never get one. But I want to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what the devil will do to you young people. Your body gets ahead of your brain. And this thing of lust is a very, very powerful thing. And our young people are being hit in the face with it from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. And I know how 13-year-old boys talk. They can't even see a girl without making some kind of slimy, suggestive mark about it until girls are not people anymore. They're toys. They're like a football. You just want to say, "Hey, that's a good-looking football. Let's play with it a while." Throw it around. When you get through the football, throw it in the closet. that girls are seen like that to boys. And it's getting bad nowadays like that. Man, it's turned the other way around now, buddy. Now the girls are calling boys up. Hey, won't go riding around? You know, will you date me? Man, it's getting weird nowadays. The lust of the flesh. I want to tell you something, you young people. Heed a word of warning. They probably won't be one out of 50 of you heed it, but I'm going to try it, and I'm going to hit you with it. You ready? Don't let your body get ahead of your mind. Don't let your body make your decisions for you. Pray about it. Wait on God. Keep yourself clean, because the devil is trying to destroy you. Let me tell you what a 15-year-old girl said. She says, I wasn't able to handle the pressure. I was in with a group. All the boys and their girlfriends were bragging about their sexual relations. And she said, I finally went ahead with my boyfriend, but I found out it was a real downer. She said, I was disappointed. She said, it wasn't what I thought it was. She said, I was just tricked into it. One other young lady said this. She said, I thought it would be great. She said, but I thought after I went ahead with it, she said it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. Another young girl said, I just went ahead and got it over with so my friends would leave me alone. And the pressure is on our young people tonight. Listen, they're made fun of in school, in locker rooms, in shower rooms, if they're still a virgin. Used to in a public school. Used to a long time ago. People would point and say, see that girl right there? She's not a virgin. Oh, that's awful. Nowadays, that thing's completely around. Oh, John, they're still a virgin. And a lot of young people will even lie about it so they'll be included with their friends at school. I want to say, young people tonight, you keep your purity. You keep that crown of virginity on your head. Because, brother, once you lose that crown, as you've heard me say before, you don't never get it back. One young girl, who was all her friends, was talking about going to bed with her boyfriends. And she kept being around them and being around them. And they said, what's the matter, Jane? You chicken and all this stuff, you know, and calling her religious and Holy Joe and all this kind of stuff. And finally, she got sick and tired of it. And they were all bragging about their physical relations and bragging about their parties and their one-night stands and spending the night with their boyfriends and all this stuff. And she looked at them and she said, they said, when are you going to come and do it like us, Jane? And she looked at them girls and she said, let me tell you girls something. She said, any time I want to, I can become like you. But she said, you can never become like me. I want to tell you young ladies here tonight, you saved what God's give you. For when you walk down that aisle, be able to wear a white dress at your wedding with a clear conscience. Amen? I'm telling you this evening, young ladies and young men, the lust of the flesh is dangerous. In Chicago, they're one out of three girls who gets pregnant only gives birth to babies. Two out of three are having abortions with no moral guidepost to guide them. Teenagers have made up their own rules to the love game. It seems like anything goes. Until you get in our big cities, it seems like teenagers are just in the swinging and partying by the thousands. I've heard a young girl lay down at night and she said, I can hear my baby cry that I never did let be born. I wonder if it had been a boy or a girl. I wonder if it would have said mama. And she's driving herself crazy with guilt. Million pregnancies in America every year among teenagers. 500,000 in them in abortion. Parents are upset in Pennsylvania because kids can go to school and they cannot get their ears pierced without their parents' written consent, but can have an abortion and never even tell mama and daddy. And they talk about the hypocrites in the church. I'm telling you, brother, our young people are being pushed into living in fornication and sensuality and the lust of the flesh. Now, people, young people today are hanging themselves trying to get some kind of high in shower stalls. Young boys are being whipped into a frenzy, and the lust of the flesh is just made up as some kind of god to be worshipped. But I'm telling you, boys and girls, that's how AIDS come into this world. It kills people. There's young boys and girls laying in our hospital tonight, weighing 50 and 60 pounds, who used to weigh 200 pounds, laying there dying because they wanted that thrill of the lust of the flesh, and it killed them. The devil shot them with that arrow and laid them in the grave. Second, let me say tonight, the second arrow that the devil is pointing at our young people is the arrow of drugs. I'm going to give you the lowdown on getting high. By the age of 12 years old, most young people tonight have been exposed to drugs. But our president's wife, Miss Reagan, went down to a certain school and asked third graders who had been offered marijuana, and almost every one of them raised their hand. Third grade. Preteens, 40% of fourth graders had the same problem. People trying to get them to smoke pot. 31 million young people in America have used marijuana. They stay stoned. We have young people come and get saved at our church, and then they give their testimony, and they say, I got stoned every day at school and stayed high all day long, and my teachers either didn't know it or just didn't say anything about it so as not to cause any problems. They blame their parents for getting a divorce. They blame the teachers for not understanding them. Anything in the world so they can get high. Brad was a young high school student. He got on drugs and started fooling around with angel dust. He got so bad that he became a drug freak. His parents put him in an institution. He got on PCP. They thought that he would kill them. They had to lock their bedroom door to keep that boy from sneaking in their room, maybe stabbing them with a knife, maybe shooting them with a gun, afraid of their own child in their house. It got so bad they had him committed. They found him, a nurse found him in his restroom with his head stuck in the toilet, flushing it, trying to flush his own head down the toilet. Somebody had snuck some drugs into him in the institution, and he was blowing his mind. Just the other day in our town, they called it a suicide. I don't really know what it was, but some people, a girl I used to know several years ago, they were all over there and they were messing around with cocaine. Somehow or another, she got the whole side of her face blew off with a shotgun, I believe it was. And they were all so messed up that her husband drug her into the living room floor, and they laid down and partied a while with her laying there with half of her face blown off. Blood all over the place. They didn't even know she was dead. That just happened last week in our hometown. Not long ago, a young man called his preacher friend of mine. He said, Ralph, can you come and see me? Ralph went over and seen him. He was locked up in his room. He was taking a knife and cutting his teeth and gums out of it, just like just cutting them out. Blood streaming down the front of his chest. And they said, man, what are you doing? He said, Alice told me to. Alice told me to. He'd been listening to Alice Cooper on his tape player, and demon voices coming through there, and he's taking a knife. Another time he took his hand and started cutting the skin off his hand. He thought it was an orange, and peeled his skin off of his hand. Let me tell you something, young people. Every time you cut some dope, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if you'll ever come back and you're right mind. And you are a fool to mess with that stuff. That'll destroy you. The devil's got that thing pointed right at your head tonight. And that old good old buddy of yours down there at the school that's trying to get you to take a joint. That old buddy of yours down there that's trying to get you to take some pills. He ain't your friend. He's a devil with that arrow pointed at your head. He's not your buddy. He ain't your friend. That's a devil trying to kill you. And you're a fool if you think you can handle it. John Belushi couldn't handle it. Elvis Presley couldn't handle it. You know what it done to them? It killed them. Let me say number three. The third fatal factor of our young people tonight is the breakdown of our family. Or as we'll call it tonight, home, sour home. If your family is not together, the devil already has a foot in the door. You know why homes are breaking up in America tonight? The devil's breaking them up. He knows he got a better shot at them boys and girls. You know what I run into when people coming to me for help or counsel or whatever? I run into them over and over and over. I just had a man call me the other night. He said, can you talk to him? Having problems. I said, I'll try to. If I can help, I'll be glad to. But you know what they're doing? Mom and Daddy separates. and gets a divorce, those kids are automatically caught in the middle. One of them's usually trying to go to church and do right. The other one's out there living like a devil, usually. And that kid's caught right in the middle. First thing you know, daddy or mama or whichever one's trying to do right, taking them to church. Taking them to church. Tell them to read the Bible. They can't do right. Every time they go see the other one, mommy will let me do what I want to. Daddy will let me go where I want to go. Daddy will let me go to the movies. Daddy will let me do it. And daddy or mommy will let them do a lot more than they would when they was together because they're trying to use the kids to hurt the other one. Now, while mama and daddy are using the kids to hurt each other, the devil's standing back with his arrow pointing at the kid. That's who he's after. And he's after them young'uns. He's after them young boys and them young girls. And so, as our homes are breaking up, there are 12 million kids in America tonight living with only one parent. And brother, we hadn't lived to see the results of 12 million boys and girls growing up under the... Oh, daddy comes over and he said, now, me and your mama can't live together no more. Little 8 and 9 year old boy said, no, daddy, why? Why can't you live together? Well, me and your mama just can't get along, son. And usually, you know what the problem is. He's always got his eye on somebody else. And boy, he said, me and your mama just can't get along no more. And little boy said, why? Daddy, why? And he said, now, daddy will come over and get you every Friday and take you and buy you an ice cream. He don't want no ice cream. He wants his daddy. He wants his mama. He wants his daddy. And there's a devil breaks up our homes tonight. He's using it to destroy our boys and girls. And it's already a mark against them. And one day you'll see their face behind bars, or you'll see their face in front of a courtroom, or you'll see their face somewhere where you wished it hadn't been, and maybe in a coffin. It happens every day. Number four. The fourth fatal factor of our youth tonight is what I want to call rock and roll models. Rock and roll models. What an impact rock and roll is having on our... It is absolutely astounding. Years ago, a young boy's dream was to be president. Years ago, when a young man grew up, he said, I want to be the sheriff. Teenagers nowadays don't dare want to be the sheriff. They laugh at the sheriff and call them pigs. They're scum. They're nothing. You know what young people want to do nowadays? Just look at them and you can tell. Half their hair is orange. The other half's blue. Got an earring in her ear. They got hope. You know what they do now? I seen a pair of britches in a store the other day that we'd have thrown away, man. They had about 40. Looked like he took a razor blade and split them all the way down through there. Them things cost $40. Wore slap out. Like, man, them things must have been high when they was new. You know what they do now? Take them acid wash, hang them up, and shoot them with a shotgun. And wear them. You know where they get that? They get it from rock singers. You watch Bon Jovi and all them dudes, you get up there, you know, and here come Guns N' Roses, and here comes, and they got up there and they got slits in their britches trying to look sexy, you know, and boy, they do all that, and young people said, man, I took these boys out to church with me one night, bunch of young boys, they were about 14 years old, had a long hair, everything. I took them to church with me one night, and I went in, I stopped the store, and I said, come on, boys, I'll buy you some Pepsi. And I went in there, and one of them had a big rag tied around his britches leg right there. And I said, why you got that rag tied around your britches? This boy about 15 years old, he said, I don't know. Just up, decided you was going to tie a rag around your britches for no reason at all. Then I found out why he had it. Wasn't long until I saw the front of a rock magazine, and they had rags tied around their britches leg. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, if you want to do it, tie it around your neck or ears or finger or whatever you want to. I'm just saying what an impact these dudes have on our kids. Now, kids are imitators. Yes,
But amen. When I was growing up, when I was about 13 or 14, I'd watch them pro basketball games and watch Earl the Pearl. And boy, here come Earl the Pearl, and he could dribble like this, go spin around like that. He's really carrying the ball, but the ref didn't call it because the fans loved to see him do it. And boy, he'd come down there and here, and we'd go out, and as soon as it'd get halftime, I wouldn't wait till the game was over. When it got halftime, we'd grab the ball and run out and say, here comes Earl the Pearl, you know, and like that, and we'd Wilt Chamberlain, and we'd jumping off the strut, bam! And slamming it with two hands. I used to get on a trampoline, a boing, boing, boom, like that, you know, and dunking it backwards. And I said, well, you know why? Because kids are imitators. You see them get out there and say, all right, I'm so-and-so. I'm this, and be their favorite baseball player. And so I'm Gabriel, you know, and I'm Roman Gabriel. I'm Bart Starr. I'm this and that. Go, man, go! Woo! And they can imagine themselves being on the Dallas Cowboys. They're imitators. Whoever their heroes are, they want to try to be like those heroes. And young people tonight's heroes are rock singers. That's why we're in trouble tonight. That's why fornication is eating us up. And drugs, that's the kind of lifestyle them people live. Biggest bunch of whores and drug addicts in America tonight. Gene Simmons was kissed. Said he'd bragging about being with over a something like a 2,000 or 3,000 women. Every city they go to, they check into the nearest VD clinic just to keep a regular check on themselves. And you talk about filth. You got filth, brother, when you're dealing with these people I'm talking about. Now, y'all young people, you look up here at me a minute. You may think you're cool and smart. You might think, I ain't listen to that old hick preacher up there. Let me tell you something, buddy. You're letting stuff in your head that would black the walls of hell. And you let that stuff go in there. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some quotes. You know, Michael Jackson made $70 million off one album. Ain't no telling how many he put out. $70 million, man. Of one album, Thriller. That's unbelievable. When a little shrunk up jig can wiggle around on the stage like a nightcrawler and make 50 times more than the President of the United States, son, we are in bad shape. We're in bad shape. He is so vulgar you can't even look at him. Have you seen his movements he made? It's all they're doing is a bunch on stage acting like they're having fornication. Hey, boys up in Robbinsville, tell me, you know, boys I tell you about is real tough in football. Tell me about something happened at football camp. I'll tell you about some boys that's tough. This boy come in, he was out there in the field, you know, practicing, he was eating grasshoppers. And one of them just catching them, crunching them grasshoppers, going, chew them up before they have time to get out of their mouth. And they was bragging about that, saying how tough they was and everything. And they was up there, one of them said, who will eat that frog right there? Where's Brother Cargill? Is he out right now? I needed him for this illustration. He said, who will eat that frog right there? And they told that one fellow, they said, how much would it take for you to eat that frog? And finally they agreed on $40. He said, I'll eat it for $40. They got up to $40. They all got it up, took up to $40, and he said, all right. And they caught that thing. Bigger, one of them big ones. Big old chest sticking out here. Real slick on top. And they said, that boy reached back like this, and he got it by its hind legs. It was just a kicking around, you know, his head hanging upside down. And he got it by his hind leg, and he went, flipped it over like that, and threw the whole thing in his mouth. And he started going, You could hear bones crunching. And hear it crunching. And he said, you could see the sides of his jaw go, that thing trying to kick its way out. He said he stood there and chewed, no guts and blood just running out of his mouth. And that frog just a-kicking for dear life, trying to get out of there. And he heard his jaw going, and finally he chewed. And little by little, he'd stop and pick out bones. About that long. And he'd pull a bone down, and he'd chew a little bit more, and he'd swallow, and pull another bone out, and pull it down, and swallow, and pull another bone out, and in a few minutes he had that whole thing swallowed, and there was a little pile of bones. They said that boy, he got real sick. He threw up. He puked all night that night. All night he threw up. They said the next morning when he was eating breakfast, that boy come just walking up and he'd sit down. Everybody just looked at him and moved away. You say, "Oh, preacher, I wouldn't do that for $100,000. Ain't enough money in the world. Get me to put a live frog in my mouth." Listen, let me tell you, pretty little girls with that pretty lipstick and them pretty clean teeth tonight, something. You are letting something inside your ears that's 10,000 times more sickening than that boy eating that frog. You're listening to a little old boy tell about having sex with his sister when you listen to Prince. That's dirtier than any frog in this world. You couldn't stick nothing no more slimy and filthy in your head. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to ask God to forgive you. You imagine you acting like you're clean. I bet you ain't brushed your teeth in 2 years if you're that nasty. You nasty thing, you. Twisted Sister has a video on MTV, and the title of the video is, "We're Not Gonna Take It." And they're saying mom and daddy's old crazy fogies, and it shows a boy pushing his daddy down the steps. And moms and daddies wonder why they can't do nothing with their kids. The Doug Kennedys have a song called "Killing Children," and the words are, quote, "I kill children. I love to see them die. God told me to skin you alive. I kill children. I love to see them die. I kill children and make their mamas cry." You tell them, like young, you know why the devil's trying to kill you with that stuff, young people? Listen to the suicide. Oh, Ozzy Osbourne's got out a song now called "Suicide Solution." And Ozzy Osbourne right now is being sued by some parents in California whose boy committed suicide after repeatedly listening to a song called "Suicide Solution." You know what the words are? "Make your bed, rest your head, put the gun to your head. Suicide's the only way out. Why don't you kill yourself?" And that boy listened to that thing over and over and over again. He got down in his bed. He had his tape player playing. He made up his bed just like I said. He rested his head, put the gun to his head, killed himself, and they're suing Ozzy Osbourne for it right now. They ought to put him in jail. What if we Baptist preachers were up in pulpits telling young people to kill themselves? How long do you think we'd stay in business? Huh? AC/DC song says "Shoot the Thrill," and it's talking about killing yourself because the words say "Pull the trigger for the real thrill." And with nothingness as their doctrine and meaninglessness as their philosophy, they think the ultimate high and the ultimate thrill is death. They say the ultimate trip is dying, and they glory in their dying. Elton John sings, "I'm getting bored being a part of mankind. Not a lot to do. This race is a waste of time. People rushing everywhere, swarming like flies. Think I'll buy myself a .44 and give them all a surprise. Yeah, I think I'm going to kill myself. Cause a little suicide." That's the words of the song, folks, on radios all over America. You know why 500,000 teenagers in America attempt suicide daily? You know why 14 succeed every day in America? Did you know every year in America, 4 high schools the size of the Pensacola High School are completely wiped out by suicide? 4 high schools! Blue Oyster Cult has a song that says, "I'm burning for you." Now see, what they're trying to get you to think is he's burning in love, you know. But the words say, it's talking about a young man who committed suicide by burning himself to death in a car because he couldn't have the girl he wants. One song says, "Don't fear the reaper. It's a suicide pact between two lovers who can't have each other." Another video shows a man with a gun to his head. He said, "I'm going to take my life tonight at 4 a.m. You say, Brother Danny, that's just words to a song. They're really not serious. Well, they found Alan, a young teenage boy, at 4 a.m. in a garage, doing just what the song said. We're talking about a real devil. Amen. It's really killing young people. Amen. Number five. The last arrow the devil's pointing at our young people tonight, destroying them by the millions, is alcohol. I think it's utmost hypocrisy, all of these Say No to Drug programs on TV, and 2 seconds later give a beer commercial. Lord help us! Alcohol is an epidemic. It's killed more than all the wars it's ever been. Tell them peace friends that! In Buffalo, New York, a 16-year-old murdered his father with a rifle. He told the police that he had drank 17 to 20 beers before he did it. In California, a man choked his wife to death because he was drunk. That's what made Billy Sunday and old preachers say statements like, I'd rather own stock in hell than in a brewery. I believe we're slipping as a generation of Christians by not hating alcohol like we used to hate it. But I tell you, it's of the devil. It's the devil's juice. There's nothing good comes out of alcohol. God have mercy on Christians that keep wine in the refrigerator and keeping a beer once in a while. You gotta have your brain washed. In Mississippi, there was a drinking party. 17-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl suffocated his young cousin because they were drunk. Last year, nearly 9,000 teenagers got a bottle, got into a car to have a blast, and never walked away from the automobile. 30% of all 9-year-olds are being pressured to drink, and there's 100,000 alcoholics in America, 10 and 11 years old. Alcoholics! Gotta have it every day! Boys at parties think they're cute when they bring little 2-year-old Billy over and say, watch Billy take this beer, drink it, Billy. And they all laugh at it, and little Billy will grow up a drunk before he even has a choice to make. The devil's using it to kill our young people. Down here in your state of Florida, a boy and a girl not long ago skipped school. They went and got them a fifth of whiskey. Started drinking it running down the highway. Several miles later, they run off a bridge and into a river. Killed them both. And the paramedic said, as they pulled that car out of that water, he said it was one of the most weird, sickening sights he had ever seen. He said that young boy who was driving the car was sitting in the back seat. And he said his head was cocked, turned all the way around backwards, looking the other direction in a weird, cocked, unusual position. He said that young girl was over where the driver's seat is. Her head was down underneath the brake pedal and the gas pedal. Her feet were up over top of the headrest on the front seat. Her dress was up over her head, and her hand was on the handle of the door. But she was trying to reach for a way out of that car. And I thought, my God, how many young people tonight? No, they're in trouble. No, they're going down. No, life, and they're reaching for something. And that's why we're here tonight, is to show you there's a door. There's a way out. And there's something you're looking for, and it's here tonight. Up in Ohio, I believe it was, there's a young girl got saved whose name was Sandy. And Sandy, it was on speed. She was a speed freak. And she really got saved and started carrying her Bible and going to church and loving the Lord. And they made fun of her and spit in her hair on the school bus, laughing at her because she's a Christian. She carried her Bible down the high school hall. She got a burden for a friend of hers who's 15 years old named Lisa. Lisa was a pretty good girl. And one day she witnessed to Lisa and she said, Lisa, have you ever been saved? She said, no, I'm not ready to talk about that. I got the rest of my life. She said, Lisa, if you died today, where would you go? Lisa said, I don't have to worry about that. I'm young. I got my whole life ahead of me. She said, Lisa, get saved. What makes you think you're not going to be dead by tomorrow? And Lisa said, because I'm young. I'm only 15. And I've got my life ahead of me. That night, she went home. The next day she came home. She was supposed to go out with some friends. She came in and told her mom, she said, Mom, I got a headache. And her mom said, well, honey, why don't you go lay down a while? And her head started hurting worse and worse and worse. And the next thing you know, her friends came. She said, Lisa, ready to go out? And she went and checked on her in her room. She was laying there dead. They grabbed her up and took her to the hospital to try to find out. There was no medical explanation for her dying. She just died. And Sandy, her friend, thought, I just told her yesterday, Lisa, how do you know you're not going to die tomorrow? In all seriousness here tonight, if some of you young people, if you knew that you was going to die tomorrow, this altar would be full. And you know it. And you know it. You know there's some things you need to get right with God here tonight. The devil's trying to kill you. And it may be that tomorrow morning somebody will come running here to church and say, Oh, preacher, I had a young man die last night and he didn't make it. He's not here with us this morning. You don't ever know. Oh, I'm young. I'm help. Yeah, so was this girl. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, the devil's trying to kill you. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you need to get right with the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved here tonight. I want us to stand, bow our heads. They're coming to get us a song. The musicians are coming. If God's speaking to your heart here tonight, I believe there's some young people here tonight. And this service that we've had just for you need to come. Thank God for these that are already coming. And what you need to do tonight, if there's a young person here tonight that you know is not right with God, maybe you ought to just slip your arm around them and say, I love you, and God loves you, and I'll go up there and pray with you if you need to go. Amen. That's right. Come on. Come on, young people. The devil's trying to kill you, and you know that. Well, I'm your friend trying to tell you the truth tonight. We're not your enemy. God wants to help you. Thank God for these that are coming. Maybe some of you parents know a young person up here needs help. I don't know who's who. But if there is one here that needs help, maybe you can come and pray with them. This is for you, young people. This church loves you. And it means to help you tonight. Brother Ruckman loves you. And these workers here love you, and your Sunday school teacher loves you. They don't want the devil to ruin your life. There's no telling what some of you might be involved in. Why don't you come tonight and get it straight? The Lord will help you. You'll feel so much better, know you're forgiven and living for Him. Dear God, do something tonight. Do something to be real. Do something to be lasting. Not just a spur-of-the-moment emotional thing, but God, do something that's real and last in the hearts of these young people. Please, God, do it for Jesus' sake and your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's take a hymnal, please. Let's take a hymnal. Let's sing 375. 375, I gave my life for thee. Anybody else like to come down? Come on down. You young people, if you want any help, raise a hand. Raise a hand. If any young people like to have somebody counsel with you or have prayer with you, raise a hand. Anywhere here. Any young folks you already want any help, want any counseling, raise a hand. Somebody come to be with you. 375. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood to shed. Thank you. My Father's house